plate a potential nugget.
A related point you mentioned in the book, Raghu, is you talk about the distinction between heroic and asuric action.
Mm-hmm.
And you say that often the difference is the state of emotion one operates from. You touched upon it right
now.
And you go on to say that we all need to operate from a state of equanimity or shantam. Can you say more about this?
See, shantam is a very, very highly valued state of being. All of yoga actually attempts to bring you to that state of shantam or equanimity. Okay, shantam is usually translated as peace, which is it's not peace. It's the state of quiet, high potential, but completely quiet. Right? It's like a good, like Federer or a good batsman who's still and watching the ball. He's not pre-committed in any way. He's very alive. That is shantam. Right? And he can respond immediately to whatever is appropriate. If you're pre-committed, you can't do that. Right? So shantam is that pregnant, powerful silence. Right?
Fully alert and fully alive.
Fully alert, fully alive. All possibilities. Now, if I can find a way of getting there and being there most of the time, imagine how powerful I'll be. Right? And every action of mine will then be the best that I can be.
In that moment.
Right? But most of us are caught with conditioning. That's the compulsion, compulsiveness and all that I talked about. Now, we're caught at different other states which are much more suboptimal than this. Right. So shantam is a very, very prized way to be. I mean, Chanakya has written a book on why a leader should be a yogi, why a king should be a yogi. And he's written about yoga and he emphasizes this. Right. How does this person stay in shantam? And then when you're adjudicating, you're going to be as wise as you can be. When you decide to fight somebody, you know whether it's a real fight or a self-acquisitive fight. Right? So if you can be in shantam, the chances are you will respond from a deeper intelligence. That's the Krishna voice that I said. But if you're not, the chances are you're going to respond from a self-centered space, either in pleasure-seeking or pain avoidance. Right? Either acquisitive or violent, reactive. Any action that comes out of self-centeredness will turn out to be asuric. It's not dharmic.
And for busy leaders in the corporate world, you've done a lot of work with leaders in the corporate world. What do you advise them to start, at least to go in the direction of accessing shantam? What are some of the practices that you
have? I think there is a greater and greater understanding today that mindfulness, at least, is understood as an important thing. Right? And I know a lot of leaders, I've had a long conversation with, what's his name? Bansi. Who's that guy? Yeah, he's there in the book also. Vallabh Bhansali. Yeah, I've had a long conversation with Vallabh Bhansali. Now, he talks about the importance of Vipassana meditation and how it helped him as a human being. Right? There are many younger people, Vellayan, whom again I've interviewed in the book, he speaks about how much he's been influenced by Sadhguru. Right? There's a Mustafa whom I discuss with.
Yes.
He speaks about how studying the Quran in depth has helped him to understand how to make decisions. And his life is a very interesting life.
P.C. Mustafa of ID Foods.
Yeah, P.C. Mustafa,
yes.
ID Foods. Yeah, phenomenal. Right. So there are many people who have this in them. They know that they are gifted. Something in their life has told them, I must use this gift in ways that are dharmic, that help people. Right. And the leadership that they exhibit, the way they deal with people, is of a different order. Yeah, there are other people whom I've seen, whom I've met, who've got triggered by, you know, an opportunity in the market or this or that. Right. Their approach definitely has an acquisitiveness where utilitarian philosophy, na, using oneself as a tool and using other people around as tools predominates. I don't see these organizations, unless there is some big shift that happens, becoming institutions. You know, like the Tatas, for example, you see them describe many of their decision-making processes. It's profoundly human. It has a huge dharmic underlying thing around it. They might make mistakes here and there. That's fine.
Sure.
Yeah, but most of the leaders I've met there have this ability to be self-reflective, to ask the larger question and things like that.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I'm absolutely certain if the world has to go forward from where we are now, unless there are many, many leaders of this kind, nah, you cannot look at a meaningful future. We are at the brink.
I love the metaphor of sport. Every moment is almost like facing a new ball in cricket. And as they say, we need to see if it's a yorker, a bouncer, a juicy overpitched ball, a googly or something else, and play the ball on its merit. If we try and get a boundary every ball or defend every ball, it just wouldn't make sense. I guess every moment is a bit like that, and we need to play each moment as it shows up without premeditating a shot. Something similar came up in my conversation with Rich Fernandez, who heads Search Inside Yourself, a leadership development organization incubator in Google. He speaks about the notion of response flexibility versus reacting to each moment.
So this skill is something that we teach. We call it response flexibility. Right, the ability to respond rather than react to challenging situations. And most people in business face challenging situations all the time. But if you're only reacting to them, right, and being very hot and angry all the time, you're not being responsive, actually. You're not being balanced and you're not being clear-headed. And so that's the difference. Being response flexible in the face of challenges and disruptions is a critical skill for business leaders and for technical leaders. And yes, it does very much have to do with your own internal landscape. And like, that's why we call the curriculum Search Inside Yourself, because we believe that to be an effective leader and a thriving person, what more? You need to develop those skills of awareness and self-knowledge and self-management in order to be effective.
Subsequently, in that conversation, Rich uses the example of Captain Sully Sullenberger, who successfully landed a plane on the Hudson after encountering a bird hit and saved 100 plus lives. He speaks about the Shantam frame from where Captain Sully operated from. If this is of interest, please look up my conversation with Rich Fernandez in the guest section of the podcast. Or even better, go and see the movie Sully, where Tom Hanks plays the central character.